Welcome, this is Kathleen Pearl. This is titled Uncarnal Weapons. Father, we thank you and praise you. How great is your name, how great are your ways, how you speak to us now, down the ages, from eternity into eternity. We bless your great and holy name in the name of Yeshua, Jesus our Savior, Son of God, Savior, Redeemer, and Deliverer. Thank you for joining me. This is called or titled Uncarnal Weapon. I want to talk to you about raising the standard, which is a sword. A sword is a weapon, and a standard is customarily a flag or a banner, usually used by the military to identify a group of soldiers, or a central flag to rally all the soldiers at one time. It was designed to be a sign. Every man of the children of Israel shall pitch his own standard with the sign of this father's house. So it can be a rallying point or a sign of your house. It was usually a flag or a carved figure. Every tribe of Israel has some animal figure on their standard or banner. And those of the common tribe or ancestry was called to assemble for the battle to begin. The four major tribes, Judah, Reuben, Ephraim, and Dan, had banners. All the 12 tribes have banners. And then God's upraised hand was a signal, a ness, for the nations to bring the sons of exiles home to the land of Canaan. So the use of banners and standards is widespread in ancient times for many cultures and lands. But this also another definition of a standard, okay, that I want to discuss with this idea of raising the standard sword. So it's a call to battle, an assembling point, but the standard definition in Webster's New World College Dictionary, the second version, is it is something established for a use as a rule or basis of comparison in measuring or judging capacity, quantity, extent, value, quality, as the standards of weights and measures are fixed by government. Well, this is a definition of standard. Now, we're talking about several ideas mixed in here, but this analogy is often used in the Holy Scriptures, that the sword is the word of the Lord. And we're talking about a sword is often a weapon of warfare, no doubts about it. And the standard is a raising or a rallying point for the word of the Lord. It can be used as that. Let's look at some of these ideas over the standard. Isaiah 59:19 is one of my favorites. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. He will raise a banner. It will be a banner. It will say, this is the kingdom. This is our rallying point. This is a place of war, because the enemy comes in like a flood. And the Spirit of the Lord is going to raise up this standard of judging capacity, of content, of value, of quality, as fixed by the government of the kingdom, the measures fixed by the eternal Lord. It is raising up an ensign. And that to the nations, this is the eternal kingdom, not the kingdoms of this world, but the kingdoms where our Lord said, pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Isaiah 62:10 says, go through the gates, prepare the way of the people, cast up the highway, and gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people, lift up the value by the eternal government of weights, measures, the righteousness, a judgment. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? In Jeremiah 4:21, when the enemies were coming, he saw the standards for warfare on the for the gathered together for battle, and the sound of the trumpet is the declaration of war. Set ye up a standard in the land, blow the trumpet among the nations, prepare the nations against her, call together against her the kingdoms of Arat, Mini, and Ashkenaz, appoint a captain against her and cause the horses to come up as the rough caterpillars. So this is a gathering the enemies for war. For war. So when the Lord is getting ready to come, he says, in a couple of scriptures, to stand, when you see in Matthew 24 all these things happening, stand, for your salvation is drawing nigh. For the Lord, the King of hosts, the commander-in-chief of the army of heavens, is drawing nigh. When you see all these things begin to take place, okay? Now, if you stand before the Lord and you raise up a standard, there is the converse of that is a falling away. You can fall away from the things of God, which it is thou hast delivered, you know, my soul. God delivers us from falling away, that we may walk before God in the light of the living. God has delivered, Psalm 56:13, my soul from death, will thou not deliver my feet from falling? For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. So if he delivered us from falling, we're standing. A righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. So we are not to fall down before the wicked. We are to raise up a standard of righteousness and truth, the sword of the word of the Lord. This is a spiritual. Our weapons are not carnal, Ephesians 6, but mighty through God in tearing down philosophies, traditions, vain imaginations, all high things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God in Christ Jesus. Okay, let's look at 2 Thessalonians. But before we do that, let's go directly to Ephesians 6. I want to quote this exactly. Finally, my brethren, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand, to stand, to stay standing, and to resist, as are my comments, in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit, raising the standard of the sword, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication of all for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. What? The sword of God, the word of the Lord, okay, with righteousness, to raise up that standard, okay, to raise up the banner of the kingdom of heaven, to blow the trumpet. Now, we are not to fall before the wicked ones, right? A righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. Let's talk about this falling away. What happened in Daniel? Okay. What happened in Daniel? King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face. No, Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold whose height was 80 cubits, and the breadth thereof is 6 cubits, he set up in the plain of Dura in the presence of Babylon, Daniel 3:1-7. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent together all the princes, governors, and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of all the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Here Daniel says, Nebuchadnezzar set up an image of gold. He began to worship this image. All the princes, all the high places, princes, powers, spiritual wickedness, all those who operated, all his operatives came to worship this one idol that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud to you, it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship. We are not at the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. Now, the commandments of God, the first commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me, and you shall make them more, you know, wood or metal and overlay them, and you shall not worship them. You shall worship the Lord your God alone, and him you shall serve. So this was the direct opposition to the Lord God Almighty. And you, and whoso falleth not down, it says in verse 6, and worship, shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. So all the people heard the sounds, cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music. And all the people, the nations, and languages fell down and worshiped the golden image the king had set up. But we're not to worship this mystery Babylon idol, because God says you're to hold up the standard. And Daniel held up the standard in that day. 2 Thessalonians 2:3 says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there comes a falling away first, a falling down, and the man of sin, a falling away from the Lord God and the true church, the true God of God and King of kings and Lord of lords, and that man of sin will be revealed, the son of perdition. Now Jude says, and to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And Jude is a very, you know, pertinent book, especially in this hour. All right, so now we know what's raising up a standard of the word is God's word, his commandments, okay? And that when you fall down and worship anything else, you have fallen away. Very clear instruction from the word of God. Now, these apostates, these people who were in the church, who were teaching, and this was a vision I saw. I saw in the Valley of Jehoshaphat in Jerusalem, okay? And there's a coiling serpent with wings, and he was coming to destroy through this valley, and there was a sword coming down after him. Now, let me say this valley, the Valley of Jehoshaphat, in Jerusalem, we are the Mount Zion. We are the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. We are already abiding in an eternal kingdom. Okay, this was a twisting of the word of God. I fear lest by any means a serpent beguile the Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And by the way, 2013 is the year of the serpent, according to the Chinese. And it's interesting, the snake that I saw was Asian. But I fear. And this sword, and it was that dragon, the devil Satan. He deceives the whole world, okay? He is a deceiver. Now, the sword that I saw went to do battle, to cut the lies. This was a coiling. It was like a coil, like a spring. It coiled around and around and around. And it took the truth and spun it and twisted it, okay? And so a sword is, well, a sword is the word of God. That's what we call it. And we are to strengthen our swords, our understanding of the word of God. According to the word of the Lord, the word made flesh, Yeshua the Mashiach, the one who stands in Revelation 1:16 and has in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth, that is the word of the Lord, went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as a sun that shineth in strength. This is his mouth, his fiery sword, his standard. And our position is to be completely submitted and yielded to that, to rally around that standard, his standard. And this, as it says in Jude, about the apostates to be following him, to be waiting for the sword of the Lord, which is the word of God to be revealed to us. Jude says he's talking about apostates. Now, apostates are those that have fallen away and worshiped other gods. These are spots in your love feasts while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, also saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all. This is the word of the Lord, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So we are to maintain our love and our life in God, building ourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping ourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life, okay? And he's able to keep us from stumbling, from falling. Verse 24, now to him who's able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. This is our formula. This is our counsel. This is the standard and the sword of the Lord in dealing with the apostates. The Lord himself is going to execute the judgments. It says in Revelation 19:11 through 16, now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, the ones we just spoke about also in Jude, the Lamb's war, who are called chosen and faithful, who follow the Lamb, clothed in fine linen with white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So this is the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. That's Revelation 19:21. This is this raising the standard of his sword. He strikes down the nation. It says in Isaiah 11:4, he shall judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. 2 Thessalonians 2:8, he rules them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to sheaves. Revelation 2:27. This is the man-child in Revelation 12:5. To rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And he will tread the winepress of the fury of his wrath, the fierceness of his wrath. Revelation 14 says the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even into the horse's bridle, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. And Isaiah 63:3, I've trodden the winepress alone. He does this alone, it says in Revelation. Those following him are his followers, but he does this alone. For the people, there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger, and I will trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my remnants. So this is let's talk about this sword. Now, as I saw this sword, next time I saw this sword, and it had a flaw in it. Now, if you know anything about the blacksmith and the forging of weapons, it's the steel is taken and put in the furnace, and then it's beaten and beaten till all the flaws are out, till it's tempered steel. If there's a flaw in it, you may take it and hit something and it will break in two. And so it is with the sword of God's Spirit. It must be under this, the anointing of the Spirit. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up the standard. The Spirit of the Lord is the one that will initiate the call to the standard of the Word of God. And you must line up with that. If you are flawed in your doctrinal position, you will crack in the battle. And you need complete obedience by the Spirit to the written Word of God. May the Lord help us and keep us in these tumultuous times, in these perilous cosmic conflict of the ages, where that old serpent, the deceiver, is about to and is coming to receive his judgment. He's been thrown to the earth. I saw him fall like lightning, and he is to receive, and those who follow him, the judgments for his wickedness. May you be kept in the Spirit of God. Now, my prayer for you is that you may be kept in his Holy Spirit, that he may keep you until the day of his coming, that you will hold fast in the grace and the love, the most holy faith, praying in the Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and have compassion on some, making a distinction, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God, our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen and amen. God bless you, Kathleen Pearl.